Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm feeling pretty good on my trip to paradise.
Okay.
It's part of the song.
Oh, right. That song.
But I deliberately screwed up the first half of the phrase to make it funny.
Before we get started, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. We have some people to thank, Matt.
We do.
We do. Supporting our show, we'd like to thank Gretchen Engel. Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Rocky Jones. Thank you very much, Rocky.
Rocky Rock.
Wow, there you go, Matt. And Izzy Iola. Thank you, Izzy. Longtime supporter of the show.
Of course. Thank you, Izzy.
And some good news. Izzy has put us over our $100 goal. With his support, we are now over $100. I will be writing a weekly article about The Simpsons, exclusive to Patreon. You two can have access to that and our bonus episodes, our Simpsons movie commentary track, all that stuff. For only $2, $2 a month, you can have access to all that stuff. Our next goal is to make and eat moon waffles.
Woo!
Yeah.
Those sound delicious.
Including the stick of butter. I think that's going to be the the trickiest thing. Also, if you'd like to support the show in another way, a free way, simply just go to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice wherever you listen to us. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe to us. If you don't know what to say, simply write perfectly cromulent.
It's true. We are perfectly cromulent. Perfect. After all, a noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
Matt, I've got to save that for another episode.
Wow, come on.
I know.
Got to whip that kind of thing out early.
I don't want to hear that talk about whipping things out. This week's episode is Homer's Barbershop Quartet, the first episode of Season 5, Episode 9F21, originally aired September 30th, 1993, written by Jeff Martin, directed by Mark Kirkland. Let's see, finished 30th in ratings for that week, with a Nielsen rating of 12.7, approximately 11.9 million viewing households. Cannot find data about how well they did on Fox. I'm going to say they finished first.
Well, I would hope so.
This is one of the last few episodes from the Season 4 production run, hence the 9F21 on the code. I think it was between this and... it was supposed to be Homer Goes to College was in the other one that was up to start off this season, but they argued because George Harrison is in this one that this one should start it off instead.
That seems like a pretty good decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good deal to have George Harrison. the chalkboard gags, I will never win an Emmy. I know, that's kind of sad. They do. They've won Emmys for best animated programs. Many of them, but never comedy. But
that's like the ghetto, you know? Emmys, apparently.
It's an Emmy, who cares?
I don't agree with that statement, I'm just saying that's, you know, how it's seen, which is stupid.
I don't care. It's an Emmy. Whatever. It's just like the TV version of it. It's like a Grammy for visual, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay. The couch gag. The family... This is a long one. Family rushes the room, crashing each other, shattering to pieces. Then we get it's a little meta joke where we get a second cut, second take two. And then they morph into a giant blob. And then finally we get a take three. And then they run into each other and explode. It's pretty good. Aside from the giant chorus line one, probably, I don't know, it might be even the most creative one we've seen yet.
It's quite original.
Yeah. It's we've seen them run past the kind of the frame past the cell, past the film strip. So this is kind of another, they're kind of breaking the fourth wall in more direct ways. The episode guest stars George Harrison, as previously mentioned. So the second Beatle to have appeared right after Ringo. Also,
you have to say it as Beatle, Robbie.
I do?
Yes, you're required to say it as Beatle.
Why? Why am I required to say that?
That's how Apu says it. That's how you have to say it, obviously.
I'm not Apu. David Crosby also makes a guest appearance. After, let's see, Krusty Gets Canceled, he was also in that one, right? Last episode?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
He was in Marge Goes to Jail.
Marge and Chains?
Chains, that's the one.
Marge and
Chains. I could not remember the name, sorry.
Yeah, it's not really that memorable of an episode. The singing voices, the variety of singing voices in the different songs in this episode, are the Dapper Dans, which is a acapella group, a barbershop quartet that sing in Disneyland at the time. So they were, I mean,
That is incredibly amazing. Like, because there are times when they were singing, and I was like, I never knew the voice actors could do this well. And, you know, it's not them, but they really make it sound like them.
Well, no, it's not only the Dapper Dance. Like, obviously, Apu and Wiggum in particular have very distinct voices. So they would interweave the voice actors singing in different parts with the Dapper Dance. So it's not always just the Dapper Dance. It's not always just the voice actors. It's a combination of the two whenever you hear them singing.
Makes sense.
So it's actually really smart. And they, again, the sound mix in this is really great because you can pick out, like, it sounds like the voice actor singing. It's kind of seamless. Episode begins with us going to the Springfield Swap Meet, where the only thing you can't buy is dignity.
Diamond Joe
Quimby.
He is the 1%.
He doesn't really enjoy it there. We see kind of all the knickknacks and random garbage and worth and like priceless treasures that everyone are selling. Mo has little Lucille balls he's made out of oysters.
Oyster Lucy?
Which they're awful, but they are it's charming that Mo likes, he makes little Oyster Lucies in his spare time and sells them.
Hey, everybody loves I Love Lucy, darn it.
I Love Lucy and The Lucy Show, both great programs. Definitely suggest you guys go seek those out. We also see Flanders selling cards. Trading cards.
Oh, boy! Free trading cards! Wow! Joseph of Arimathea! 26 conversions in AD 46! Whoa, a Methuselah rookie card!
Well, boys, who'd have thought learning about religion could be fun?
Religion? Learning? Let's get out of here!
Hey!
That's true. The one thing kids hate above all is learning.
It's pretty bad. Religion's
a close second.
Learning, I mean, you combine those two, it's pretty rough.
Yeah.
I went to a Christian school for a long time, so I endorse those statements.
Those hatreds.
Those hatreds. That's great. Lisa runs across. What's the name of that character? The Charles Bronson sound alike character. What's his name, Matt?
Oh,
Surly guy or
something like that.
Yeah,
but mean guy or
something. Yeah, he's selling a Malibu Stacy that has rather large breasts. Things they're not really. They don't have nipples. But they're you know her. And, he says they were taken off the market because they poked some kid's eye out. Apparently, that joke was originally called to be censored.
That's just nuts.
The Simpsons writer just ignored it, and they kept it in. They just left it in there.
They should have. That'd be stupid to censor that. The whole point of the joke.
Skinner runs across a POW helmet that he wore in Vietnam. Prisoner 24601, which is, I believe, Jean Valjean's prisoner number?
Yes, it is.
Les Mis.
It's part of the song and everything.
Yes. I'm kind of a. It's sad. Les Mis is sad.
Indeed, it is.
Homer passes up a. He passes up buying all these things for 5 cents. I believe Action Comics number one.
Junk.
The upside down airplane stamps. Misprinted.
Junk. Munch. Planes upside down.
A Stradivarius.
Stradahuvius?
Is there one more that I'm forgetting?
I think that's it, just those three.
Okay. Marge is selling her paintings and craft. I frankly, with the quality of Marge's paintings, she should put those front and center and stop trying to sell Wishbone necklaces.
Like, right?
She should be putting the paintings, like, look at my paintings, they're really good, not like, look at these crummy necklaces that took 10 minutes to make. But that's just me. I'm trying to, I'm trying to help Marge out. Bart and Lisa are going through old vinyl records at Comic Book Guy. Comic Book Guy, I guess, also has a stall at the swap meet, even though he has an actual store.
Maybe he's trying to, rustle up some new customers. Like, oh, we'll go to the swap meet. They'll love these ancient vinyl records.
No, maybe it's a different audience than people who go into a comic book store. That makes sense.
That's true.
They run into... They flipping through the records, they run into Homer's album, The B Sharps. Meet the B Sharps is the name, which is the first of many Beatles references in this episode. There are many, many, many Beatles references. The whole kind of arc of this episode in the flashbacks is the rise and fall of the B-sharps, and which is kind of the rise and fall of the Beatles in a very short encapsulated period. Homer is actually surprised that Bart doesn't remember this.
Dad, when did you record an album?
I'm surprised you don't remember, son. It was only 8 years ago.
Dad, thanks to television, I can't remember what happened 8 minutes ago. No, really, I can't. It's a serious problem. What are we all laughing about?
Who cares?
Who cares, indeed?
That's really a dark joke.
Yeah, I have to admit, when I was a kid, I didn't understand the joke, and I was just like, oh, he said that because he's on television. Like, he was trying to imply the fact that, oh, we're on television, so 8 minutes ago it was a different TV show. So I don't really get that.
I mean,
is a darker joke than I realized.
That's your version is actually kind of funny as well, Matt, but that's even more kind of meta than the joke actually is. But we flash back to the halcyon year of 1985, the year I was born. And we see kind of the proto version of the B-sharps with Homer, Apu, Skinner, and Wiggum. They are practicing at Moe's Cavern, which is a reference to the bar that the Beatles hung out in and performed in when they first started out. And Wiggum is kind of the Pete Best here, where they're doing very well as a barbershop quartet. Homer explains that, you know, there was a gap in time for some kind of weird musical genre to fill in, and barbershop was the answer.
Barbershop is never the answer, kids.
There's nothing wrong with barbershop.
That's true. I was actually trying to reference country music, but you know.
But there, we see them kind of doing well locally. They're. I didn't pull them singing because they just perform Coney Island Gal or Coney Island Girl?
A traditional song.
Yeah, that's a standard. We don't need to hear that for 2.5 minutes, but that we see them and it sounds really good. You can hear the Dapper Dans singing there. They're going around Springfield. They're in Moe's a lot. They're at church, which Flanders is not happy with, until Lovejoy scares him off with a Jesus-shaped oil stain.
St. Barnabas, thank you, not Jesus.
I'm sorry, Matt. Could you tell me what is St. Barnabas the saint of, Matt? Can you tell me that?
No idea.
Okay, I didn't think you knew. I don't either. they go to the prison where Snake is there. His prisoner number is the actual number of the episode. It's 9F21. Take a close look at that. But because they kind of are so successful locally, where they've kind of grown a following, where like Moe is actually surprised that the girls at his bar are there of their own volition. They're not.
Yes, he thinks they were paid to scream, but in fact they were not.
No, Homer is approached by Nigel. Are we ever given his last name?
Nope.
No, it's management
not
by
that I could tell.
No, management by Nigel. He loves the group. I hesitate to call them a band because they don't play music. Though Skinner does play like a banjo in Baby on Board, so there's some instrumentation there. But he wants to sign them. Only problem is he wants to replace Wiggum. He wants to replace Chief Wiggum. Homer kicks Wiggum out of the band by setting him loose like a dog. You would a dog
in the field. Yeah, you just open the door and let him go. He'll be fine.
That's a terrible practice for dogs and people. I would suggest
terrible
not
practice for any creature, really.
Yeah, well, I think it's mostly dogs, but you should not set any domestic animal free in the wild. They generally don't work out very well for them. But they hold auditions to replace Wiggum. We see Grandpa, we see Willie, we see Jasper. They're all terrible.
You mean Old MacDonald Had a Farm is not the best audition tune? I can't believe you.
Probably not. We see Wiggum in disguise as Dr. Doolittle. He is found out. They're kind of despondent.
Dr. Doolittle is Chief Wiggum. This bird's gonna fly.
They're despondent. Until they, sitting in Moe's, they hear a singing voice coming from the bathroom. And it is Barney. They quickly recruit Barney. Barney's fine with it, apparently. I mean, he doesn't really ponder it very quickly. He's just like, yeah, sure, that's fine.
Now, where's me peanut?
I don't know why he suddenly has the accent. He keeps the accent after he stops singing the song.
Well, because he was singing an Irish song, so,
Yes. Nigel also has a proposition for Apu.
Apu, nasa pima petalon.
Yeah, never fit on a marquee, love. From now on, your name is Apu de Beaumarchais.
Well, it is a great dishonor to my ancestors and my god, but okay.
That's one of those lines I always remember from this episode.
Yeah.
Kind of the casual dismissal of personal values for fame.
Well, yeah, fame is the most important thing, obviously.
Yeah, it's really great. We see Barney, his debut. Wiggum has the crowd fired up in support of him, and then Barney sings, like, for 6 seconds, and then instantly they turn their back on Chief Wiggum.
Crowds are fickle beasts.
They are. And they have, after their performance, they are outside of Moe's, and they have to come up with their name.
Only one question remains, gentlemen. What do we call ourselves?
How about Handsome Homer Simpson plus three?
I like it!
No, we need a name that's witty at first, but that seems less funny each time you hear it.
How about the B Sharps?
Perfect.
The B Sharps.
The B Sharps.
The B Sharps!
With the act actually ends with Wiggum putting his hand in. And trying to, there's a lot of Wiggum in the first act trying to, I don't know about the Beatles' relationship with Pete Best, if he holds kind of any resentment. I know there's a lot of, I think they just released a movie about that, about Pete Best.
Really?
Yeah, The fifth member of the Beatles. But it might have been a documentary. I am not sure. Either way, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we are back to the frame story, where the Simpsons are driving back from the swap meet, and their tire goes flat in the middle of the Springfield Badlands, which are for some reason between the Simpsons house and the swap meet.
They never say the Springfield Badlands, but we later learn that the desert around Springfield is called the Badlands, so I assume that's what it is.
Yeah, makes sense. So Marge goes to get a new tire, because Homer obviously wouldn't. And he continues the story. He is attempting to write more songs. And, what's the song he's trying to write at this point? Something, something Burt Ward.
Yeah.
Apparently the actor who played Robin in the 60s Batman TV show was not good enough to write a song about. Sorry, Burt. But when Marge comes home with a little, you know, sign for the car, trying to get people to stop ramming the back of their car intentionally, at least, it says baby on board. And that just throws Homer into a tizzy, where he immediately starts writing. He's on to something for sure. And you're going to get to hear it.
I'm telling you, it's mighty nice. Each trip's a trip to paradise. With my baby on board.
Gentlemen, you've just recorded your first number one.
Oh, yes!
Yes!
Wait till I tell Marge.
Oh, yes. Bouffant Betty. Well, I would prefer we kept your marriage a secret. You see, a lot of women are going to want to have sex with you, and we want them to think they can.
Well, if I explain it to Marge that way, I'm sure she'll understand. Come on, honey. It'll only be till we finish our tour of Sweden.
Sorry for the length of that clip, guys, but I just had to include the Bouffant Betty remark and Marge literally crying her eyes out at being told that Homer is going to pretend to be single.
That's really, it's brutal, like crying.
It really is.
It sounds so, like, they might as well have just recorded Julie Kavner just crying, because it's that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And that is true. Like, that has actually happened with the Beatles. And you can actually see that also in a twist on that in That Thing You Do near the end.
Really?
Yeah, well, near the end, when they're doing their first television, big television thing, and the, you know, sorry, ladies, he's engaged or whatever.
Yeah. Remember?
And he gets all upset. Like, I think that's a twist on that thing. Cause that's, That Thing You Do is also kind of an analog to the story of the Beatles to a certain extent on, you know, a young, band, pop band in the 60s.
Makes sense.
And that is Matt, that song's amazing.
It really is. I mean, it's a really good song. I guess the Dapper Dans apparently did most of it, and it just, they harmonize incredibly well. whoever wrote that song, I don't know if they did or the Simpsons writers wrote it and then somebody put it to music. It's fantastically done.
Luckily, we can't hear that.
Well, we can't have internet.
Collectively written by the Dapper Dans and Jeff Martin.
Oh,
so well, the Jeff Martin who wrote the episode and Dapper Dans, here, they have them listed here. Harry Campbell, George Ekonomou, Shelby Grimm, and Danny Jordan. Because their membership changes all the time because they're,
right.
This was 20 years ago at this point. So their Dapper Dans still exist. I believe they're also there's a version of the Dapper Dans in Orlando as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You have never seen them at Disney?
Do you know what park they perform in?
I think Magic Kingdom.
No, then probably not. We spend our time getting drunk at Epcot.
but I've gone on record saying this is probably my favorite original song from the show, and it's like just a great pop song. Like, I mean, yes, it is an acapella / barbershop kind of quartet doing
AKA
that,
making it the best kind of
pop well, yeah, song. It's not like it would never. I don't think you'd ever kind of hear it on the radio, but it really is a well crafted. Like song that you could put, like they put it on albums and it really sells. This episode really hinges on that. And that's kind of my justification a lot of the time is that if they don't craft a great song that you couldn't justify, yeah, that is really catchy and really like a good song. Like, I don't think it would.
You wouldn't believe that they were that kind of band. You'd be like, oh yeah, whatever. But when you hear that, you're like, wow, maybe they could have been this barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
We see that song being played on the radio soon after. I guess the actual band is off touring in Sweden. We see a whole bunch of people, including Grandpa and Jasper, listening to it on the radio, although they turn over to Paul Harvey. Because old people just love Paul Harvey. We then see the sea captain who reconciles with a giant squid and just tells him, oh, I'm sorry, I heard there was gold in your belly. Which they
sure,
become best friends
sure.
afterwards, apparently.
All squids have gold in their bellies.
That's true. That is canon.
It's not true, guys.
Anyway, we see Homer buys Grandpa a car, as all newly famous people do.
That is,
and then we see them.
That's a reference to Elvis.
Of course.
Elvis Presley.
Yeah. I'm sure I knew either you or one of our listeners would pipe up and say who it's supposed to be. So,
The pink Cadillac thing. I think it was originally Cadillac. I forget. Elvis.
Pink Cadillac sounds right.
I know Elvis bought. Yeah. Let's see.
You're looking at
that
part.
Yeah.
Up,
yeah Cadillac. Yeah. It's Cadillac. I believe Cadillac. I'm not sure if it's pink, but yes, it was a reference to that.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we then see the Simpsons going on tour. What do you mean by Beatles comparisons, by the way?
There's just more and more of them. Like it's
oh,
just
yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
It, there's just the throughout this whole like the bigger than Jesus comments, the press conference,
oh, yeah, yeah.
All of this is direct reference to the Beatles.
The Beatles?
Matt, if you say that to me one more time.
Sorry. I actually captured the press conference because they sound just like the Beatles. And it's a lot of little one-off jokes that seem to just work really well for them, which is funny.
I have a question for Apu de Beaumarchais. Isn't it true that you're really an Indian?
By the many arms of Vishnu, I swear it is a lie.
Barney, how did you join the group?
They found me on the men's room floor.
Principal Skinner, mm-hmm. You've been referred to as the funny one. Is that reputation justified?
Yes. Yes, it is.
But shortly after that, we move on to the B-Sharps performing on the deck of it's a destroyer or battleship, I'm not sure which one, in front of the Statue of Liberty, where they are once again singing... what was the song you named, Robbie?
It was Coney Island Girl or
Coney Island.
I don't know. I'm not sure which one it is. I actually don't. Let's see. Coney Island Babe? Coney Island Gal? It's a standard.
It's one of those.
You guys, if you listen to this episode, Coney Island Baby is there in the song. Excuse me.
There you go.
Goodbye, My Coney Island Baby is apparently also a name. Whatever. You guys know.
So, either way, they're performing that, and they dedicate the song to the Statue of Liberty, and they describe her in a way that makes her seem like a kaiju, and one of the listeners immediately flees in terror, which is a really great, quick joke that I just loved. There's also a Reagan joke in there where apparently President Reagan and his wife are in attendance that night. And Reagan makes a comment about time he could be working, which I believe is a reference to the vacation time that Reagan took when he was president, which I guess it was a timely political joke, maybe. I don't know.
93? Sure. I mean, Reagan, I mean, he was president. He's kind of a famous guy.
True. I just don't know anything about the guy. So, you know,
I don't
know.
Economic policy. I didn't get it. I don't know enough about Reagan aside from that he was a very bad president.
All right. Before we're swamped with angry letters from conservatives, we move on.
are people actually, I don't know, like anyone listening to this podcast genuinely think that Reagan is a good president? Tell me why.
Robbie would like to know.
Because I looked back and everything I've read has said he was a very bad president. I mean, he was good for, I guess, our national image. I guess that is, you know, that's the justification.
That's true. We then see the Grammys, where the B-Sharps are competing in the category of soul, spoken word, or barbershop, which I would have thinking soul would have been a bigger category at this time in the 90s. But I guess they're saying 80, it's 80s.
It's 85, so. 86. I don't know. It's the Grammys. I think it's just a gag about how terrible the Grammys are. Like, they combine, you know, things that don't necessarily belong together, etc.
Yeah. Makes sense. But luckily, the B-Sharps win. They are presented their award by David Crosby, who Barney claims is his hero, but Barney didn't know he was a musician at all. So I don't know what he's his hero for. Maybe for beating alcoholism, I guess, since he was Lionel Hutz's sponsor. Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
But at the after party, Homer meets George Harrison, which he says was one of the best parts of the night. Or he may have been referring to the brownies. You know, it could go either way.
Then came the greatest thrill of my life.
Hello, Homer. I'm George Harrison.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God! Where did you get that brownie?
Over there. There's a big pile of them.
Oh, man.
Wow, what a nice fella.
And before you ask, yes, I did have to include all the eating noises.
I was about to say, I was going like, that's a lot of noises, Matt. Thank you for giving us that in strict auditory form. I really needed to concentrate here. Dan Castellaneta making gulping noises. It's
well, really when you great. Have brownies, even if they're fake and on TV, you have to appreciate them appropriately.
That is fair. Brownies are pretty good. I'm guessing the ones that are catered at the Grammys after party are probably good brownies.
Probably. I would hope so. Although it's the Grammys, so you never know.
But George Harrison makes the second Beatle that has been on the show. Apparently, like many of the guests on The Simpsons, especially in this time period, the writers and producers just wanted to meet another Beatle. So they wrote him in, and it worked.
They were like, hell yeah.
It was supposed to be very hush-hush. You know, no one was supposed to, you know, they didn't want, you know, him to be swamped by all these people. But then Matt Groening went and saw him and then immediately came back to the writer's room and said, guess who I just met? George Harrison. And everyone immediately went and said hello to him. Apparently he was kind of gloomy until someone started talking about his solo work, which he perked up. Which I can assume that if you are a Beatle, you probably get tired of being asked about the Beatles.
Probably
anything
true.
That's not the Beatles probably is a better conversation than, yes, I was in the most popular pop rock band of all time, or at least most revered. I'm not sure about popular is a hard word to kind of most album sales. I know they sold a lot. I don't know if it's the most, but I think everyone knows the Beatles. But who wins the Grammy, Matt?
Surprisingly, the B-Sharps.
Oh,
they win.
Okay, great.
After the after party, we then see Homer later that night in his hotel room, on the phone to Marge. He's talking to the kids and you can kind of see in his face how much he is just totally missing them. It's kind of subtext at this point, but you can kind of see it in his face how he's just like, you know, is this fame worth it? Cause I mean, you know, it's a lot of being away from home and that sort of thing. He goes out onto the balcony after taking his phone call and looks at his Grammy and just begins to contemplate life when the bellboy, Squeaky Voice Teen, comes in to give him the bottle of champagne that he ordered. And since Homer doesn't have any cash for a tip, he gives him the Grammy. And, well, I'll let you hear for yourselves.
Here's that champagne you ordered, Mr. Simpson.
Oh, thanks.
here.
Whoa! An award statue! Oh, it's a Grammy.
Hey, don't throw your garbage down here.
So, I think at this point we know very, very well how The Simpsons feel about the Grammys. But that is the end of Act 2.
Even from without my personal experience with just observing Grammy Award winners, The Simpsons trained me as a young age to not respect most award shows. Which
that's true.
It's, I mean, they're right. They don't matter. When we come back, the family is. I don't think Marge is there. They are going through all the merchandise that the B Sharps had. This is when we see the bigger than Jesus. Reference where, yes, it's that was the name of their second album, which shows them walking on water, and it's also a reference to the Abbey Road album cover from the Beatles. There's funny foam. Is that just like the supposed to be like spray foam stuff? I guess
kind of, but apparently
it's supposed to be edible, but it's poison. Which I
don't think it's supposed to be edible. I think it's just supposed to be funny foam, and stupid people eat it.
Like Bart.
Exactly.
So Homer and all the other guys are still touring. This is kind of the downfall. What goes up must come down, as says Homer. Marge tries to replace Homer while he's gone.
With your father on the road all the time, I tried to compensate for his absence.
Hi, kids. I love you.
That thing is terrifying.
It really is, especially to kids. Can you imagine?
I know, like a little like 2-year-old kid, 3-year-old kid, like a fake version of your father made out of like a bucket and a balloon.
Terrifying.
Weird. We see Barney. He has kind of become a John Lennon figure because he begins dating a Japanese conceptual artist. Is clear reference to Yoko Ono. She is never named, though, in The Simpsons. She is only a Japanese conceptual artist, quote unquote.
Yep, no idea who that could be.
Yeah, it's a really kind of vague. Who could they be referring to? But Barney has a new exciting take on Barbershop with the help of the Japanese conceptual artist.
Barbershop is in danger of growing stale. I'm taking it to strange new places.
Number eight. It's a great song there, Matt, huh?
It's my favorite of all time. I can't imagine a better song than that.
If you've ever listened to the old Yoko Ono, John Lennon stuff...
Have I? No, I have not.
No, but if you did, you would see...
It's pretty much that. It's realistic.
It's not... I mean, the burping, not... But it is just kind of odd things, you know, in sequences. But they just kind of... I believe it's Us Magazine who eventually... Is there the deciding factor if they split up? That which is
well,
a straight...
it's their hot or not list. I mean, if you're hot or are you not? I mean, come
they're,
on, Robbie.
They're not hot. So they split up. I guess they had to split up somehow, and they had to still be friends. They all go back to their jobs. Skinner apparently this all happened over a summer. No, they say it's 5.5 weeks, so it's probably 5.5 weeks right in the summer. Skinner comes back just in time for the school year to start. Apu right back to work at the Quickie Mart. Barney still is dating the Japanese conceptual artist, who at this point asked Mo for the a single plum floating in perfume in a men's hat.
Served in a man's hat, yes.
Which Mo has. Homer, apparently, while he was gone, was replaced by a chicken named Queenie. Queenie was the name of the chicken?
I believe so, yes. Queenie, you can go now. That sounds right in my head.
And Homer ate it.
Well, yeah, he gave her a good home, man.
That's really awful, honestly. That poor dark chicken replaced him at work, and to reward the chicken service, he ate the poor chicken.
Well, Homer is a terrible individual.
Lisa and Bart both question, like, why is this never mentioned before? How are you suddenly a good songwriter? Like, how... And Homer's
since
like,
when could you write a song?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And honestly, yeah. Why is Homer suddenly talented musically? Although, from this point on, it's kind of canon. I mean, and he does sing a lot, and rather well, generally, so that should tell you enough. But after all this, after having this the flashback, we're back in the present day. Homer decides call up the old gang, and they do a reunion on the roof of Moe's, which is also another Beatles reference. They even have the clothing down. All those each member of the B-Sharps is wearing the same clothing as a member of the Beatles in their reunion. And we see them perform Baby on Board again in front of Springfield. And that kind of ends the episode.
Chief Wiggum does try and arrest them afterwards.
Well, he says they're going to get the tear gas, but we never see them. We never see that happen. Frankly, we never see them get arrested either. I think Wiggum is just kind of talking all talk and no game. I mean,
that does sound like Wiggum.
Yeah, but this is a very solid episode. It's a very solid.
It really is.
Yeah, the music is the cornerstone here, and all the Beatles references. If you're a big fan of the Beatles or pop culture in general, this is a very heavy one in that regard. It's not necessarily it's heavy on those, the jokes and all that stuff are kind of reliant on knowing those references.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that is, it's both its strong suit and its kind of weak point. Because
yeah.
I don't know how much someone who doesn't know anything about the Beatles would get. I mean,
as a kid, I watched this episode and I found it hilarious. It was, one of my favorites. And honestly, I knew nothing about the Beatles. So I still think it's possible to enjoy it.
Yeah, and a lot of the gags are kind of big enough that it doesn't necessarily require that knowledge. But I think the kind of in-jokes, the references, they definitely, the Yoko Ono analog, the press conference, all the Beatles album covers, George Harrison, all that stuff. I think if you're a Beatles fan, it carries it to another level. Baby on Board is a great song, and it carries. I think that's the thing that carries this episode for me, is how good the singing is, how good the Dapper Dans are, along with the voice cast, and how good that song is.
I would agree.
We will rank it at the end of the show. Next up is a My Favorite Episode submission. We have two in a row, Matt. I like this.
Whoa.
We have one next week as well. We're hitting a, like, a home run every week with these episodes. This is from Bobby Cash. His submission starts off, "Hello, Homer. I'm George Harrison. Oh my God. Where did you get that brownie?" That interaction between Homer and a then living music icon was and still is my personal funniest moment in The Simpsons. As a lover of musicals and 50s, 60s groups such as The Four Seasons, etc., seeing Homer in one is both amazing and hilarious. Success for the group with the Grammy wins, the albums, the Bigger Than Jesus comment makes this episode great. Yes, it makes no sense the fact that it's never been brought up before or since, but who cares? And the quotes! Principal Skinner, you have the reputation of being the funny one. Is this reputation justified? Yes, it is. That's my son up there. Who? The balding fat ass? No, the Hindu guy. Apu du Beaumarchais, and more. Guys, this has to be in the top five. It's my number one, but it's the best music episode in The Simpsons ever. Thanks for reading. Thank you for your submission, Bobby. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You too can submit your submission for your favorite episode to simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Just send it in. I will read it on air when we get to that episode. Next up, Matt, you know what time it is? It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Segment where I comb the old Simpsons news group at alt.tv.simpsons. It is archived on Google Groups. You can find it and look through it if you want to. A few interesting things. The dude who describes all the cars is back. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in there for a bit. But let's see. The Simpsons car, a pinkish Oldsmobile Trabant sedan that's been there all this time. It's interesting to note in Lisa's first words, they still had Homer's car from high school, but 1 year later they have this one. Limos are still generic, but based on the pre-90 Lincoln Town Cars. Car Homer gave his grandfather was a 1985 Cadillac Fleetwood or Sedan DeVille, an Elvis reference. Finally, the white car behind the paperboy was a late 1960s Chrysler product. My personal guess was it is a B-type car, a Dodge Coronet and related models, or a 66 to 68 Dodge Dart / Plymouth Valiant. He's also disappointed that there is no Volkswagen Beetles like on Abbey Road in this episode. Also, ran across an interview with Matt Groening at the time. Like, I think this interview ran on the day this episode was premiering. I pulled a few questions from it because I think they're really interesting in hindsight. First question, how long do you think you can keep The Simpsons going? Matt Groening's answer, one of the most difficult things about animation is that it requires unblinking scrutiny at every stage of the process or things can go disastrously off track. I don't know how long we can maintain the standards we've set for ourselves. I hope we go out riding high, but whether that's in the next few years or several years down the line, I can't say. Yeah, several years down the line, Matt. That's what it is.
Several years. Not like decades.
Not decades down the line. Does having a new group of writers help keep things fresh? His answer, we have a new executive producer, David Merkin, who worked on Get a Life and Newhart, and there's a whole slew of downy-cheek new writers whom I have the pleasure of telling, sorry, we already did that in season two, whenever they come up with a brilliant idea. I think having a staff of people who aren't shaving yet is going to work in our favor. They're more in touch with Bart's inner child.
Aww.
Yeah, sorry we already did that in season two. They have no idea. Finally, what about the plans for The Simpsons comic books? We've started a comic book company called Bongo Comics Group. Our debut titles are Simpsons Comics, Bartman Comics, Itchy and Scratchy, and Radioactive Man. Radioactive Man is a comic book Bart worships on the show, trying to appeal to an audience that's been overlooked in comic book stores. Kids who want to read something that's funny and not full of gruesome, sadomasic power fantasies. I just hope that audience exists.
It definitely doesn't, obviously.
I mean, I am kind of... They both are fine in there, but there's... Yeah, I agree. I'm all for you, Matt. I like that. A little-known fact about Bongo Comics, it is where current writer and artist Jason Latour got his start as a comic book
what
fan.
What? No way!
As a comic book fan, he's the creator... He's the writer of Spider-Gwen, also artist of a comic called Southern Bastards. Two very different comic books, but his first professional work in comic books was for Bongo Comics. He inked, I believe, Bongo Comics. He walked up to Matt Groening at a comic convention and just asked him to look at his portfolio.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty neat little tidbit. That's it for that. Next up, Matt, is our listener question of the week.
Ooh.
Let's try one more number.
Hey. Yellow?
KBBL's gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite moment from season 4? That is a tough question. But we got tons of great answers, as always. First up from Twitter, we have Rob at Rocky2689. Stinking, rotting, vomiting pile, vile New Orleans. Great song on a great episode. S. Austin 140. Favorite season 4 moment is Bart playing John Wilkes Booth as the Terminator in I Love Lisa. Hasta la vista, AB. Caught at Pure Cromulence. Everything in Marge vs. Monorail, but especially Town Hall Meeting sing-along. Mono. Doe. Sean at ShawneeMac15. In Last Exit to Springfield, Homer's floor spinning, whooping tribute to the Three Stooges. My bro and I still celebrate with it. Mitch at MitchDoyle13. This one gets me every time. So pumped for season 5, the best season in my opinion. Keep up the good work. And he has linked me to the Batman's a Scientist exchange.
Sorry.
Batman's a Scientist. Jessica on Facebook. Jessica, there are so many amazing moments in the season. For me, one of my all-time favorite episodes, A Streetcar Named Marge. So many great moments. Cool, she can fly. I think it's supposed to symbolize her descent into madness. Lionel Hutz bringing a lawsuit and playing Mitch. Loving moments from Homer at the end, which still makes me cry. Maggie's great escape. As a huge Hedgehog fan, my favorite moment from my favorite fourth season episode has to be the best visual gag in the classic episodes, The Birds homage. Bart, Homer getting Maggie and pushing the children out. The babies line in the Hitchcock cameo. This moment is so amazing. And that was in the running for my choice, for sure. Danielle, Bart shaking up Homer's beer with a paint mixer for April's Fool Day. April Fool's Day. Yes, I know it was on the clip show, but it's brilliant. Proved that Bart is a genius. An evil genius. Zach, Homer's conversation with God and Homer the Heretic. I remember trying to use Homer's same logic to get out of church as a kid. Abby, the closing number.
Good luck with that.
The closing number of A Streetcar Named Marge. That community theater group must have skimmed the end of A Streetcar Named Desire because they so completely and hilariously got it wrong, but it made for good TV. Rob, so many good ones for me. I always laugh at Dr. Nick saying, "These gloves come free with my toilet brush." That or Ralph Wiggum's trip to the dentist. Why must you turn my office into a house of lies?
It's true. I don't brush.
Nick. Sorry. Bart puts on the beer glasses and sees a hot woman. You're charming the pants off of me. That and the whole Lisa exclaiming drunk, I am the Lizard Queen, then taking pills to get rid of the hangover. Now, how we've all been through that. Well, not the drinking, the hallucinogenic sludge part, but the hangover part. I don't think Matt has, because Matt, you know, is a teetotaler, but...
That's true.
All of us addicts, vice lords. Not really. Brian, finally. Let's see, not finally. I have one more. Let's see. Brian, Marge and Homer riding off into the sunset in Duffless. And finally, Jaden, while I love all the stuff from Homer and the Bat and Marge vs. the Monorail, I'm going to have to go with Worker and Parasite. What the hell was that? Now, Matt, what is your choice? There are many, many, many good answers. It was very difficult for me to pick.
I honestly did not think anyone would come up with mine, but it was Homer and Marge riding off together at the end of Duffless. When Marge picks Homer over drinking, it's just, it's perfectly emblematic of their relationship and how, despite the fact that Homer is often a complete moron, he occasionally gets things right. I don't know how anyone else channeled me to pick that, but congratulations.
It was Brian. He's you guys are simpatico, apparently.
Apparently.
My answer, I really went back and forth on this a lot, but... If you ask me tomorrow, it might be something different. But today, today my answer is Homer the Heretic. Right when Homer is going to sleep, let's see, boy, everyone except me is stupid. That ego and the just it's so great. I just love it so much. That's one of my. It's such a great episode. But that bit alone, and I mean. I could pick like the Maggie escaping, you know, from the preschool, the birds reference, the whole entirety of Marge vs. the Monorail. Like, it's really tricky. Season 4 is such a good season with so many classic moments.
Mm-hmm.
Our next week's question: what is your favorite episode with Homer in the title?
Ooh,
now, there's a lot of them.
Homer's, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one. We have one right here. You guys, you okay there, Matt? Matt's dying.
Nope, nope, I'm good.
You don't sound okay, Matt.
I am totally okay. Don't worry about me.
Good. I post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to us in any of those places. I will post this question. We are recording a little bit early this week, so if you responded later to this week's question, I apologize. I probably didn't get a chance to look at it, as well as anything else that happened, you know, in the latter half of this week, because we had to record early. Matt, it's time.
No time. I'm scared.
Well,
there are consequences now.
There will be. It is time for our No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I at least challenge each other, try and stump the other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Sometimes we get theme submissions from you guys. None this week, but of course we are open to more if you want to send one in. A listener a while back gave me this idea, and I think it's really solid. I wanted to start with season 5. I think we'll do this for every season. Going forward.
Whoever this listener is, I don't like you.
Whoever it is, reach out to me. I'm sorry, I lost track of who it was. But I do thank you. I'll mention you next week. Basically, we will go season by season and have a challenge, trivia challenge, and we'll actually have consequences, a punishment for the loser, for the person who gets the least amount of questions correct. And they will have to, this season, we came up with whoever loses has to eat a smoothie, drink a smoothie, a blended smoothie that has Simpsons-style food in it, a mixture of stuff. One thing for sure is going to be a Duff beer. I have a knockoff Duff that Matt brought me from Germany.
Is awful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. We'll use that and add whatever foods. I'm going to post this to our social media. You guys reach out to me. What kind of foods you want us to include? What kind of Simpsons-style foods? I thought about, like, Butterfingers. You know, obviously the donut you get. want to get the one from Universal, but you have to actually go into Universal to get that donut, as well as all that other Simpsons food. They don't sell it outside of the Universal's theme parks. But they do sell the 7-Eleven still has the Simpsons style donuts, so maybe that. But I'll pose this question to you. So definitely one ingredient is a beer. So make it definitely taste gross when mixed with all that other garbage. But we will post a video of this, whoever loses, having to drink the entirety of this smoothie. It will be disgusting. Give us some impetus for not missing these questions. We've kind of decided on a very simple point structure. Easy questions are worth 1 point. Medium questions are worth 2 points. Hard questions are worth 3 points. We will be the judge. We're on the honor system here. Obviously, if one of us starts getting too strict, the other will also do the same. So, you know, we will kind of, I guess, balance that back and forth as we go along. But I will keep track of our point systems. I guess Matt will too, just to keep me honest. It's my pen. Yeah, sorry, it's no pen. But get us started. Matt, give me an easy question.
All right. So I have my own somewhat of a theme. It's a very loose theme.
Okay.
But who pushes the Simpsons into the Witness Protection Program in Cape Fear? What villain?
Oh, that'd be Sideshow Bob.
That is correct. Congratulations on your first correct answer and 1 point.
Oh, thank you, Matt. I also have a loose theme. It's also, you know, very loosely tied together. The Simpsons theme music was composed by who?
I believe that's Danny Elfman.
That is correct. Point for Matt.
All right. Are you ready for your medium question?
I'm ready. Here comes the challenge.
All right. What does the thief steal from the museum in Homer the Vigilante?
It is the world's largest cubic zirconium.
That is correct.
Sam Neill playing.
Oh, man.
What's the name of the character? I can't think of the name of the character. And if Sam Neill played him.
I thought it was Malloy.
That's probably it. Wise Guy is the name of the character we couldn't think of earlier, Matt, by the way.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, Matt. This is a tricky one, but I think you can get it. Name 5 of the instruments Lisa can play. And these include ones she's seen performing on in the intro.
Okay. Let's see. Saxophone.
Okay.
Let's see. She can definitely play guitar and bass.
Okay. 3. 2 more.
It's 3. What else is she playing? Can I name multiple types of saxophone or just saxophone?
No, saxophone is 1.
Saxophone. Oh, just saxophone. Okay. What kind of instruments does Lisa play? She's going to go out a shot in the dark and say piano.
That is correct. There are. I have a list of 11, Matt. So
oh, wow.
You have 4. You just need one more.
I'm going to say, does the jug count?
I will count it. I didn't include it in the list, but it's an instrument. It makes sound. It's, you know, they've used it to make music. I will give you it. I want you to remember this moment. Whenever
his generosity.
Yeah, exactly. I actually honestly think that should count. The others, accordion, trumpet, violin, tuba, baritone horn, clarinet, and harp. A lot of those are in the intro, different intros they've done.
Oh, okay. As well as I don't remember a lot of those, especially like accordion. I'm like, I would remember Lisa playing an accordion, but okay, fair enough.
Okay, Matt, give me the hard question. I think with these worth being 3 points, these are going to be huge swings. These are, you know, this
is
going to decide it a lot of the time.
All right. Your hard question. In Homer Loves Flanders, what annoying thing does Homer do that finally drives Ned over the edge in church?
Is it, I don't even remember if this is that episode, but is it whistling through his nose?
You are correct. That is exactly right.
Good. Yes. Perfect score. I'm already there. Okay, Matt. This is it's a hard question. Hard question, all right?
Okay.
What is the first licensed pop song heard on the show?
First licensed pop song?
Yes. I first licensed song, honestly. I'll give you this. It was in Homer's Odyssey.
Oh, God.
There are 2 Christmas jingles, obviously, in Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire. Those are not licensed songs. Those are...
Right.
But
those are copyright free.
Yes. This is a licensed song. Yeah, it is a pop song. I'll even give you this. It is a country song.
Country song?
Yeah, country western.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. I mean, the
I got nothing. I got no idea.
No idea?
None whatsoever.
Have you ever seen the movie Phantoms?
The one that was the bomb with Ben Affleck?
Correct. That is the very same.
I have never seen that movie now.
That song. This song is prominently featured in that film. Nothing?
Nothing. Okay. No clue.
It is I Fall to Pieces by Patsy Cline.
Aww.
Fall to pieces.
Well, I guess you're out to an early lead then.
Yeah. All right. That in my music, obviously, was a very loose theme.
Right.
I have a few questions from listeners, Matt.
All right. Do I get extra points for these?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, okay. That's not fair. I have two questions from Andy. After You Only Move Twice, what episode does Hank Scorpio make a cameo appearance?
Ooh. I feel like there's more than one, but I have no idea.
It is in 500 Keys, the 21st episode of the 22nd season.
Oh my gosh, that's that's part of my not quite as heavily studied.
Yes, I understand. Second question, when does the cameo take place? Don't think you know this one since you didn't know the episode.
Yeah, definitely know.
It's at the very beginning of the opening intro credits, as the Simpsons logo is appearing in the clouds. Hank Scorpio crosses the screen in a Globe X military style jet.
Okay, that seemed pretty darn specific.
Yep, it is the Simpsons. Minutia is very important.
That's true.
We have a few more questions from John. In Large Marge, we learn that Krusty appeared on the 1960s Batman TV series as what arch villain?
I can see it. I just can't remember the name they call him. I want to say it has something to do with the circus or something like that.
Well, what is Krusty, Matt?
He's a clown, but the clown master?
Clown face.
Oh, damn it. I fail.
Another question. In Treehouse of Horror 5, Maggie uses her blocks to spell out what famous word from a Stephen King story and movie?
Famous word.
I have the most famous word from any Stephen King story.
From a Stephen King story.
Yes. You're going to kick yourself when you realize what it is.
I'm sure I will, but in the meantime, I have no clue.
We saw a parody of it in season 4.
It's a parody of it?
No. Red Rum.
Oh.
From The Shining.
Nice.
I've read the majority of Stephen King's work. I would say that it's the most recognizable word, probably.
That's true. Especially, it's not really a word. It's more of a, it's not even an anagram. It's a word backwards.
It's a word. Red rum.
It's two words conjoined together, if you want to count that.
Red rum. It's a word, Matt. Final question. In Ice Cream of Margie with the light blue hair, what does Ralph Wiggum say when he puts an ice cream cone on his head?
I've got a hat.
I'm a unitard!
Oh, of course. Oh, I'm going to go back to watching more of the new seasons. Apparently everyone wants to ask questions about those now.
Well, you know, mix it up a little bit. Can't all be from, like, you know, season 4. There you go. You guys can submit questions, themes, all that stuff to all the places I already listed. And I really appreciate them. I cycle through them as we go. It is time for our final segment, Matt. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Ooh. Best episode ever
is part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically, so we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, Matt, where does this one go?
It's really, really good, but I'm just not sure exactly where to put it.
I think an immediate comparison, it's another musical episode, is Colonel Homer. It's better than Colonel Homer. I think it's better than Colonel Homer.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I think a good litmus test has been, Streetcar Named Marge, also very musical-based, is right above it. I think it's better than A Streetcar Named Marge.
I would have to completely agree.
We just did Krusty Gets Canceled, another one about kind of fame. And the kind of fleeting nature of it, is it better than Krusty Gets Canceled?
I would have to say yes.
Is
all Ooh. Around. I would say it's all around funnier. I feel like Krusty Gets Canceled gets a lot of its humor from the guest stars, and this one is pretty much just the family and a couple of Springfield residents.
Okay, man. This is me humoring you. Is it better than
humoring
Homer? Is it better than Homer the Heretic?
No, definitely not.
Definitely. It's not that good. Better than Cursed Gets Canceled, but it's definitely not better than Homer the Heretic. So you'd put it at number 8.
I think I would.
I think Cursed Gets Canceled is better.
Really? Okay.
I mean, you say Cursed Gets Canceled relies on all the celebrity, you know, the guest stars. Mm-hmm. Does this not rely on all the Beatles references, like all the pop culture stuff, which in a certain way is the same thing?
It is, but it's more of the characters we love making those references. So I feel like it's more honest. That's not honest. That's a stupid word to say. But I don't know how else to put it. It seems more organic coming from the characters that we know and love rather than...
I would put it right below Krusty Gets Canceled. I think it is better than Bart Gets an F, mainly on the strength. I think Bart Gets an F has a better story, but its animation is still a little rough. Krusty Canceled. We just watched it, too.
That's true.
Are you clicking? Clicking. Stop clicking.
I click when I'm you know, can't use my hands. All right, think of it this way. Think of the music in this episode, and then the music in Krusty Gets Canceled. It's pretty much just The Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler, and this one you've got multiple songs.
Yeah.
At least one of which was composed.
I realize, Homer's Bar, the music in this is far better than Krusty Gets Canceled. I will acknowledge that.
Well, I'm just saying, but think of that as how good that is.
The reason that it's so high is because of that music, man. If it didn't have that music, it'd be way lower. I don't want to say, like, obviously it's the strong point of it, but Krusty Gets Canceled, I think, is a stronger... I mean, this literally is just aping the Beatles' Rise and Fall in 22 minutes. It's not... I mean, I don't know, Krusty Gets Canceled also is kind of just, you know, Elvis comeback special kind of stuff.
They are very similar.
They're very similar.
Should we flip a coin?
No flipping coins. We don't let chance decide anything, Matt. We decide. You're not willing to sway on this? There's no room?
I suppose I could, because you're right. They're right there, and Krusty Gets Canceled was really good. I just...
Worker and Parasite is in Krusty Gets Canceled, Matt.
Okay, fair enough. Worker and Parasite puts it over the edge.
Okay.
You're right.
Worker and Parasite. What the hell is that? Yes, okay. I'm glad you can finally see reason and agree with me.
Yeah, reason,
But honestly, they're very similar episodes. They're very close together, and they're both. I mean, they're probably produced. I mean, 20. I think they're. This is 21, and that was 19. So you know, very close together.
Close to each other.
But they were split apart in season. So you know, that probably was a conscious decision to, you know, have this one in season 5 instead of season 4 because of the kind of sort of thematic similarities there.
Right.
But that would put it Homer's Barbershop Quartet at number 9. Still, that's top 10. Good showing. Any episode that makes the top 10 in this list is a great episode, because there are some episodes that, like, Separate Vocations is number 20. That is an episode I hold near and dear to my heart. Homer the Bat is 15. Both of those great episodes. Lisa the Greek, Star Craving Dad, all those out of the top 10. Mars vs. Monorail, still number 1, last place. Homer's Odyssey, number 81 at this point.
Someday we'll get there.
Mars vs. Monorail, better look out. What's next week, Matt?
Let's see, next week.
Already mentioned it.
Cape Fear, the return of Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. I'm already going to say Cape Fear is... It's going to be
very close.
Yeah, that's going to be near the top of this list. Cape Fear is one of my favorite episodes. I'm going to make no bones about it. It's one of my probably top 5 favorite, at least. But I'm really excited to watch it again, to talk about it again, to rank it again. You can find this list on our website, simpsonsshow.com. Links to it and to all of our stuff, to new episodes, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon, if you'd like to support the show. We obviously appreciate that. I think that's it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. It's MixmasterCerial. And please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, at handsomeboyscomicshour.com, and wherever fine iTunes are given away. Matt does not participate in social media unless you are a certain backing level on Patreon. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided to join the rodeo as a rodeo clown. So if you're at a local rodeo and see someone getting trampled way high, it might be me.
Rodeo clowns, they get beaten up pretty badly. So
that's true. Luckily, I am invulnerable.
Oh, is that right, Matt? All right. I have a baseball bat. We're going to have a little conversation next time I see you.
Okay, fair enough.
Be a nice way for me to get out some aggression. Hit you in the with a baseball bat. Probably says something bad about me.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I think with that, we can end the show. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.